And to whom I'd been speaking on the phone when she screamed. Flory, is everything all right there? That shriek was the most horrible thing I've ever heard. I was afraid someone was attacking you. I laughed. There must have been some kind of glitch on the line. I was afraid something terrible had happened to you. That's too funny. I'm glad you're okay. Anyway, I tracked down your order and we're going to expedite it. Sorry about the delay. I thanked her and hung up. What a crazy day. I lifted the crate. Although it was made of wood, the package wasn't very heavy. My sister Veronica had found removable vinyl stickers at a local store called Curiosities that we had applied to the stair risers. From the checkout area and the front door, it looked as if you were going to walk into another dimension. Bare limbs hung at the top of a bluish-green mist, and odd glowing eyes made us feel they were watching us. Veronica and I had always loved Halloween, and the store showed it. We had placed pumpkins, lanterns, and faux candles among the books throughout the store. The candles and lanterns operated on batteries for safety, but the wicks flickered and looked remarkably real. Frodo followed me as I walked up to the third floor of the bookstore, where the professor kept an office. It was decorated with artifacts he had brought back from his many travels. Cyril Oldfield was seated comfortably across from Professor Maxwell. "I hope I'm not interrupting," I said as I marched into the office carrying the crate. The professor was a distinguished man, with a well-trimmed graying beard. As an artist, I was fascinated by the shades of his beard. It was snow-white along his sideburns and at the bottom of his chin, but his hair changed to black pepper on top of his head and along his jawline. Heir to the Maxwell fortune, the professor was a member of one of the oldest families in Washington, D.C. His roots ran deep in the community. Cyril Oldfield had been one of the professor's students, and they remained good friends. Unlike the professor, Cyril was balding. A ring of fluffy white hair circled the back of his head. He wore a gray circle beard that was little more than a mustache and a chin patch. A loyal customer of Color Me Red, he visited the store quite often. He had been widowed for many years, but had never remarried, which surprised me because he was quite charming. I put him close to 50. He adjusted his wire-rimmed glasses and smiled at me. "Hi, Flory." "Good morning." I handed the box to the professor, who tilted his head.
"What have we here? I wasn't expecting anything."
He studied the exterior labels.
"Most intriguing."
Cyril leaned forward for a better look.
"Unexpected packages are always the most interesting."
The professor pulled out an ornate knife, which had surely come from one of his adventures, and used it to turn the screws that held the wood together. When he lifted the lid, I saw nothing but shredded newspaper. Someone had made certain the contents wouldn't shift or break in transit. The professor lifted the mass out of the box and gently separated the shreds to reveal a skull. Chapter 2. I recoiled at the sight of the deep, empty eye sockets and the eternal grin where his teeth clamped together. Ugh!
"Well, well, who might you be?" asked the professor.
He gingerly set the skull on his desk. Frodo yelped and galloped down the stairs. Cyril chuckled.
"That was quite a reaction. I thought dogs liked bones."
Undeterred, the professor pawed through the remaining shreds of newspaper.
"Aha! A note! And what's this?"
He blew at the bits of paper. They flew aside to reveal a dark mirror. He flapped open a small sheet of paper and read aloud.
"My dearest Maxwell, I find myself in a dire situation, and I don't know if I shall manage to wangle my way out of this one. If I could, I would wrap myself up and crawl into this box to be posted along with Harry's skull. I apologize for burdening you with Harry."